In the name of Jesus Christ, we studied a topic of cultivation and servitude. And servitude is related to cultivation. In the book of Romans chapter 12, talk about we have to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And that is the beginning of our servitude, as a living sacrifice to serve the Lord. And chapter 12, verse 2, talk about transformation and conformation. We have to renew our heart so that our servitude can be transformed. If we don't renew our heart, then our servitude will be conformed to the world. So there are many people serve God in the church, and you can see some serve with a very spiritual way, which really edify the church, and some people serve with a worldly attitude or motivation, and that will cause a lot of confusion to the church. It's good that we can offer ourselves to become a living sacrifice, but it's absolutely necessary. We have to do the cultivation so our servitude can really be transformed. And in the 1st and 2nd Corinthians, at least we can find 8 to 9 parables. The Bible uses a very simple daily example to illustrate a very profound servitude. To use a very practical way to explain a very profound spiritual servitude. And that's what I try to learn together with you. So all the 8 parables, we can see what is servitude and what kind of spiritual cultivation we need to do this kind of servitude well. The first one, we all are very familiar with the scripture of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We can see the 1 Corinthians chapter 3. From verse 6 to verse 9. Can anybody read it? Read aloud, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Chapter 3, verse 6 to 9. Anybody read it?
Anyone?
That's not the chapter 6. I pray the Apollos got her, but God gave the increase. So that neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Nor he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. But we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's field.
Okay. And each parable, I use 4 questions to guide our thinking about the parable in depth. And chapter 3, verse 6 to 9, you talk about servitude actually is like being a farmer. So what should I do when I want to serve God? Learn to be a farmer. And since we are a farmer, then what should we do? From verse 6, you talk about, I planted and Apollo watered, but God give the increase. planted one. Paul went everywhere to sow the seed. And that seed is the truth, the living words of God, according to 1 Peter. And then Apollo watered. But the seed being planted to everyone's heart, then Apollo doing the follow-up work. So eventually it is God who make it grow, make it increase. So from here we know that in order that the work of God, the evangelical work, can be done well, we need to work together by the members who have different kind of gift. And you know, church member, they all have a different gift. Some member have a gift of inviting the true seeker to the church. So in one of the churches, if you can see few members who are gifted in evangelism, a lot of evangelical service, you can see many, many true seekers. And some members are not so gifted in bringing the true seeker. However, when the true seeker come, and the members can approach them and talk the truth with them and testify, share a lot of testimony to them and to be friend with them, to help them to grow, to help them in their spiritual pursuit. And that is the work of Apollo. So in order that the great commission given by the Lord Jesus Christ to spread the gospel all over the world, in order that this commission can be accomplished, different gift of members should helping each other, work together like a team. So different gift is not to compare with each other. I use my gift to compare with you, and you use your gift to compare with me. And it seems like there is a competition. And because we use our gift to compare others, a lot of time we will feel we are better than others. And other people use their gift to compare with us. Sometimes they will feel they are better than we do. And that is not the purpose. You know, the whole body, the hand have finger, your feet have toe. And all different parts of the body serve different kind of function. So we cannot use the hand to compare with the function of feet. But hand and feet should work together so our whole body can survive. The same thing, all the church members, they have to use a gift to serve each other so the church can grow. So you talk about Paul plant, Apollo water. So we have to understand what kind of gift do I have, and fully fulfilled, fully the gift God has been given to us. This is the first point. Because servitude means to learn to be a farmer. You sow the seed, or you do the work, do the follow-up work. And follow-up work, sometimes the evangelical work is more impressive. Why? Because if you invite a true seeker to the church, you can count the number of true seeker. Or this evangelical service, I invite 5-10 people to the church, and 2-3 people receive the Holy Spirit. So it can express a result by a figure, by a number. But when we do the follow-up work, sometimes difficult to express by a number. Or this truth seeker, because I do the follow up, so the face increased 50%. You cannot count it, right? The face is invisible. You cannot count it. So a lot of time we will envy some kind of gift which can use a figure to express the result. And we tend to emphasize more on the importance of the gift who can express the desire in figures. But in the eyes of God, both kind of gift have equal importance. So in the verse 8, chapter 3, verse 8, and he who plants and he who water are one. And each one will receive his own rewards according to his own labor. So he who plant and he who water are one. What does it mean are one? Are the same. So in the eyes of God, different gifts but the same value. So there is no so-called this gift is better than that gift. It's the same value. But each one will receive reward according to his own labor. You know, in the commercial society, a lot of times the company use incentive to motivate the people work hard. If you are doing a salesperson, for example, in the sales car, right, in the car dealer, this salesperson 1 month can sell 10 cars, and another salesperson 1 month can sell 20 cars. Then you are going to see both of them, the salary will be different. Because you sell more cars, you do more benefit to the company, so you are rewarded with higher salary. So if we apply this kind of commercial concept to the church, and then you are going to see the member who bring the 10 truth seeker will receive the reward in heaven more than the one who bring 5 truth seeker. But this is the concept from the world. If we adopt that kind of concept to the church, then we are conformed by the world. And what is the spiritual concept we need to have? If we go back to what we just read, right? Verse 8, we just read. And each his own reward according to his own labor. According to what must work, effort we had put into it, not according to the result. It's very important. Not according to the result. Why not according to the result? Because in the previous verse we just read, God make it grow. Whether the person can believe or not is not our control. It's not our business. It is God in control. It is God's business. So we can only do our own part, and God do his own part, and put it together. And the ministry will grow. So as long as we do our best, fulfill our duty according to the gift God has given to us, we don't have to have a burden about the rewards. About the result, because God make it increase. If we look into Noah, right? When Noah preaching the warning and build the ark for the whole life, how many people did Noah really bring into the ark? How many? Eight. Who are they? the only family, right? Outside the family, nobody come, right? Why? Because they did not come, not because Noah has problem, right? Noah already fulfilled his part. It's because that generation, their heart was hardened. So that was the reason they were not able to come into the ark. Now, the same thing. If we look into the book of Acts, the beginning of the ministry in the book Acts chapter 2 to chapter 10, the ministry grew very fast. One day, 3,000, later on increased to 5,000, and gospel spread very fast. But if we read the later part of book of Acts, the third missionary trip onwards, even Paul was very eloquent and preaching in the Areopagus, right? But in the end, how many people believe? Only few. He was very eloquent, he was very powerful, but only few believe. So how many people will really believe because our hard working preaching the gospel? We are not in control. It is at the hand of God, and it also depends on people's willingness to repent. We don't worry about the report, reward. So this is what we have to think about. So doing the work for God, we don't need to have a heart or result oriented. Because it is up to God. What we have to do is do it according to the will of God and do our best to do it and hand the result back to God. And the heart can be in peace. Of course, we want more people to be saved, but it's not our own control. Now, if we look into the question B, what are the two essentials needed for growth? We come back to verse 6, chapter 3, verse 6. I planted Apollo water, but God gave its increase. So this verse can also divide by two parts. The first part is I and Apollo. That's a human effort. The second part is God give the increase. That's a part of God. So we can see the evangelical work composed of two essentials. The first part is we human beings, we have to do our best, fulfill our duty. And the second part is God's blessing. So sometimes we see a church, how come the evangelical work cannot improve? And we do a very close examination of the ministry in that church. We find out human power has problem. Why? Because they have not gone through training. They are not properly motivated. So nobody actually really has the sense of mission to do the evangelical work. So they consider just coming for Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath, that's all. They never try to bring the truth seeker. They never try to evangelize to others. So the ministry of God cannot improve. One of the reasons is we, the member, does not fulfill our own duty. So if this kind of church, after proper motivation, and the organization and proper planning, and through the motivation, prayer and planning, and more people get involved with the evangelical work and trying their best to bring the truth seeker to the church, and you are going to see the eventual goal work will be much, much better than before. Now, so we have to think about our own part of what should we do. We cannot blame everything to God, you know. For example, the church, nobody get baptized. We cannot always say, oh, this is the end time. So nobody want to believe. Probably because we have not done enough. Right? So there are two parts. The first part, the human part. And you know that our human part also like a fisherman. We're catching the fish. Right? First, you have to cast out the net. That's just like sowing the seed. The second, we have to mend the net. The mend the net means spiritual cultivation. So even though we do very hard to preach the gospel, it's just catching the net. You can see a lot of fish. But if the net is broken, we can see a lot of fish, but we cannot catch any fish because the net is broken. No. So a lot of times, it is not because God don't want to bless the church with many newly baptized members. It's because there's a net, somewhere of the net is broken. So you can see a lot of truth seekers come to the church, but not many really baptized. So God make it grow with the condition we have to do our best to bring the truth seeker. We have to do our best to mend the net, so there is no hole there. There is no where which the net is broken. No. And what kind of a net considered broken? For example, if we don't pray hard enough, the church has no abidance of God. When the truth seeker come to the church, they cannot experience anything. If they cannot experience anything, it's difficult for them to be converted. Because God is power. If God is not abiding in the church, they cannot experience the grace of God. They only come and listen a lot of theory, listen a lot of teaching, and they have no experience about God. It's difficult for them to believe. But if everybody pray hard, God is really abiding in the church through the Holy Spirit. God is really working in the church. And then the truth seeker come. Some of the truth seekers, even before they kneel down and pray, when they come to the chapel and sit in the chapel and listen to the sermon, they already feel the presence of God. So this is the first net broken net we have to mend, the power of God in the presence of the church. So everyone who come to the church can experience the power of God, can experience the grace of God. Now, you know, a lot of people, they come to the church because they have need, right? Some kind of needs is because they lack of daily necessity. They are very difficult to find a job. Some kind of need because of physical needs. They have physical sickness. Some kind of needs because they mentally they are depressed. And they worry too much. And they have a lot of pressure. And some kind of needs is some kind of something mental. They cannot think about the meaning of life. They cannot see the future. So everybody have different needs. But when they come to the church, they can feel their need being fulfilled. And they can experience God. And it's very difficult, very easy for them to be converted. So the first one we have to do to mend the net is the power of God. Pursue the power of God in the church. And another one is the net is broken in loving relationship or fellowship. when the true seeker come to the church, they have been neglected. After a few times they come to the church, nobody take care of them. And then they don't feel warm or welcomed. And then they cannot continue to come to the church. So we have to make sure when the true seeker come to the church, many people show care and concern to them and being initiative to share their personal experience about God, and then try to be friend with them. And the church should be a very loving church, a very close relationship between the members, like a family. So the true seeker come to the church can gradually fit in to the church. And this kind of church, usually the loss rate, it will be the lowest one. So if the true seeker only come to the church, listen the gospel, and have no personal connection with anybody, and build no spiritual tie with anybody, they come to the church alone and they leave the church alone, this kind of true seeker is very difficult to stay in the church. Even they have personal experience about God, it's very difficult for them to get lost. So we have to build a church, the true seeker feel very comfortable to fit in and have a spiritual bond among the members. And then when they come, they feel welcomed, feel very warm. And it's easy for them to stay in the church for a long time. So we human beings, we have our own part, our own responsibility to fulfill. Then after we fulfill our responsibility, the next one is God make it grow. And how can God make it grow? It's very important, is through prayer. So almost, if you visit a church and have a lot of true seeker baptized in the church, you can find very one phenomenon is the church is very fervent in prayer. Almost, this is a universal phenomenon. When the church is growing in number, this is a church of prayer. Because we know that we human beings, we cannot be in control of converting a soul, even though we can do a lot of effort. When we have this kind of understanding, then we start to pray to God and ask God to work, to bless the work we do. And then our work can be more fruitful. For the church to grow, there are two important parts. The first is human effort. The second is God's blessing. You cannot neglect any one of them. Now, and human effort can be separated into two parts. The first part is sowing the seed. The second part is to water. First part is to evangelize people. The second part is to do the follow-up work. You know, sometimes a church with 100 members, it's very difficult for the church to handle 10 true seekers. For 100 members church, when there's a 10 true seeker come to the church, you need to find 10 people who can really follow up them. If two person become a team to follow one person, we have to find 20 people who can follow the 10 true seeker. Sometimes a 100 member church, you cannot find 10 people really can do the follow up work. Yeah. So when the true seeker come, if you cannot find 10 people to do the follow-up work, who is going to be responsible to do that? Usually they are looking for the ordained minister or full-time minister. And full-time minister alone, one person. Even including the one who in charge of the evangelical department, only two persons. Two persons, you cannot follow up 10 people. Right? Especially everybody have their own full-time job. You cannot do that. So how can we do a better job of follow-up work? Then we have to go through training. After the training, we have to give them practical practice. And after they have been practicing to the follow-up of truth seeker, they will be more experienced to do that kind of work. So a truth seeker come to the church, and they have been baptized and grow into a point the newly baptized member can be mature enough to be independent. Do you know how long does it take? The first day come to the church, until they baptize, until they are mature to be independent, how long does it take? Yeah, about 2 to 3 years. Yeah. And these 2 to 3 years, we need to have members like what? Like a father or mother in gospel, right? Every day, or every week, you have to be in touch with the truth seeker and to know their spiritual well-being or their daily life, right? And to make phone call with them, and sometimes once for a while, you have to spend time with them and talk with them to see what's their problem, what's their spiritual struggle, and what can we help them to grow even further more. Every week, you have to spend time. Every month, you have to spend time, and you have to spend about 2 to 3 years. You just think about your local own local church. How many members are waiting to do that? How many members are fully equipped to do that? How many members are really actually doing that? And you are surprised. No, not many people. No. Right. So today, the reason if our local church don't have too much people baptized, of course it's possible God's timing is not right, but it's even more possible it's because our human effort had not done its best yet. We still have room to improve. So servitude is just like a farmer. They are too essential for the growth. And in order that God can guide and bless the ministry, so how can we build a church of prayer? It's very important. There are a few ways how we can do it, right? For example, every Sabbath morning, I don't know your local church situation, before the service, if we can promote that 30 minutes prayer before the service, right? There are many benefits there. If we promote the prayer before the service, then when you start the service, everybody already been there, right? It's the first benefit. The second benefit is, if we promote the prayer before the service, we will see that during the time of service, the atmosphere is more spiritual. If we promote the service, a prayer before the service, then you are going to see many truth seekers is going to have more experience about God. So there are many benefits we promote the morning prayer before the service. And beside that, we have to use different kind of ways to encourage members to pray. So this is the two essentials. Then third question, how to work with God? Now we look back into 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Chapter 3, verse 9. For we are God's fellow worker, you are God's field, you are God's building. So here say we are God's fellow worker. Fellow worker means actually we are the one who work with God. Right. So how can we work with God? This morning, during the morning prayer, right? Pastor Cole quote which chapter? John chapter morning prayer. John chapter, you forgot. John chapter, which chapter? John chapter 12, right? Yet where there is Jesus Christ, we have to follow him, right? Can you go back to John chapter 12? Verse 26. Let's read together. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor. The second sentence, right? Where I am, there my servant will be also. Where I am means where you see God is working, my servant will be there also. Right? That is the way we work with God. Now we look into the example in the book of Acts, and then we compare with the practical experience we have in the ministry in Africa. You will see amazingly what Jesus commanded us is actually been fulfilled in the book of Acts. It's been fulfilled in the ministry in Africa. And you see the Acts chapter 16. And can you count how many times did Paul change his mind before the ministry was introduced to Europe? How many times did Paul change his mind? How many times? Three times, or two times, or four times. Acts chapter 16. You start from verse 6 and to verse 10. How many times did Paul change his mind? Now let's count. When they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galilee, there were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the words in Asia. This is the first time, right? Holy Spirit forbid them, so they changed their mind. And verse 7, then, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. This is the second time, right? So they changed their way. And verse 8, so passing by Mysia, and they come down to Tyre, verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and prayed with him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So this is the third time Paul preached, changed his mind, right? Holy Spirit forbid them, the Spirit of Jesus forbid them, and their vision. So that he changed his plan for three times. It's nothing wrong with the planning, right? But after we do the planning, we need to pray. We have to reserve a space for God to change our plan. So when we do the planning is not final until God shows no sign to revise our plan. Right? And how come Holy Spirit will forbid them? The Spirit of God will forbid them because they pray a lot. So how can we become a co-worker of God, work with God, let God lead us? We can do that only through pray until we are filled by the Holy Spirit. We will be really led by the Holy Spirit. Also, prayer is very essential part to serve God, to work with God. So after Jesus descend to heaven, he promised what? Holy Spirit will come. And where the Holy Spirit will come, Holy Spirit will work in Apostolic Church. So the book of Acts is a book of the Acts of Holy Spirit. After Jesus ascension, Holy Spirit is working in the church. So today the same. In our church, the Holy Spirit abides in the church. So we have to pray until the Holy Spirit guides us. And then we follow the guidance of God. So it's very important. You know, the one day if you really get involved with the Africa ministry, I believe all the full-time ministers in Africa, when they go to Africa, every morning pray for how long? It's about 1 hour, right? And in the TDP training, it has been our custom from the beginning, morning prayer 1 hour. And afternoon prayer, 1 hour. Right. Of course, you cannot see the Bible, how long should we pray? Can you find anywhere? The Bible says we're to pray 15 minutes, 30 minutes. Can you find it? You cannot find it. Then how long should we pray? See, the Bible never say it. How long should we pray? Yeah, the Bible gives us a goal. Pray until we are filled by the Holy Spirit. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So if we set up that as a goal, I think 15 minutes is not enough. 15 minutes. Right? Especially if you really go into fighting in the front line of evangelical field. 15 minutes is not enough. We pray until we are filled by the Holy Spirit. We are empowered. It takes time. So every morning we pray for 1 hour. And sometimes the afternoon too busy. So a lot of time you have no afternoon prayer, right? Because you travel around. But morning prayer is a must. Why we do that? Because we read the book of Acts, you know? The book of Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Now we look into the practical example, right? Almost the breakthrough of every ministry in every country in Africa has come from Holy Spirit. 1979, the gospel spread to Nigeria. Why? There was a pastor from other denomination went to New York to attend some kind of convention, and that person called Apan. And then we have a deacon who met that person. And how can he meet that person? It's a guidance of the Holy Spirit. So a worker went to Nigeria and preached. Many received Holy Spirit. And this is the first breakthrough, right? And after gospel preached to Nigeria, actually, you know, the first church was built in very remote area. When you landed in Lagos, you had to take another 1 hour flight to Port Harcourt. After you arrive Port Harcourt, then you had to take taxi for 3 hours to the jungle, and that was the first church we built, And the missionary had been trying so hard, trying to build a church in the city. Because city is more convenient and more people, right? Had been trying so hard, no result. Not until the year of 2006, something. Not 2006. 1996, 1986 or something. Yeah. When our missionary went to from Nigeria, went to Liberia on the airplane, he preached to a businessman just sit behind him, and that businessman follow him to a whole Nigeria, a whole Liberia, and receive Holy Spirit. And that businessman received Holy Spirit, received the baptism. And that businessman actually living in Port Harcourt. And after he received the baptism, he was so happy, he went back to Port Harcourt and started to preach to his former church. Many received Holy Spirit. And later on, I sent missionary to preach there. And we have a church in Port Harcourt being established. Through the guidance of Holy Spirit. Right? And then, how can the gospel be spread to Liberia? 1983, the missionary went to Nigeria, tried to help them to build up some kind of agriculture team. But the second week was robbed by the police. So they were unable to stay. That evening they rushed to the airport and just tried to go back to their country. And the airplane stopped by Liberia. And they distribute all the flyers in 2 hours in the Liberia airport. After a few months, and then I received a letter saying, we read your pamphlet and we like your doctrine. We already changed the name of our name to True Jesus Church. It's too good to be true, right? So I keep on the correspondence for about 6 months and really confirm they like to receive the gospel. When the I minister went to Liberia, they are holding a banner, True Jesus Church, beating the drum, welcome the I missionary. And when the missionary went into the church, preached, prayed, and many received Holy Spirit. Right? And who planned it? Nobody planned it. And how come it come true? Holy Spirit. So actually, the ministry in Africa is really the appearance of the Book of Acts. And then that first seed of Liberia, one of the businessmen from Nigeria who had been doing business in Liberia, right? And later on, he went to Ghana. And he had a business partner. Then he preached to the business partner. And that business partner received Holy Spirit. And that partner just preached to his own church. 20, 30 people received Holy Spirit before IA minister went there. That was 1986. Also the gospel preached to Ghana. Who planned it? Nobody planned it. And how come gospel spread there? The guidance of Holy Spirit. So how can we walk with God? Yes, we need to plan, but we need to pray a lot and leave a room for God's guidance. So the first parable talk about farmer, right? Different gift work together, and then human effort and God's blessing, two essentials. And we need to pray until Holy Spirit really guide us. Our work, you can see the breakthroughs of holy work, and eventually God will reward everyone according to the effort we put into it, not according to the result, because result is not our control. Our result is up to God. Okay, let's pray, sir. Amen. We break.